When you think of those intentions and you sort of look at the assessment that you do, that you just described, what are the things that make something a yes for you?
Biggest thing for me with this is like, I'm tired of all the junk on social media. I'm tired of people saying like, oh, you need to post X amount of days on social media or times and all that. And it's like, we have lives to live. And I, you know, my kids are 7 and 10. They don't have phones yet. And I'm really sad for when they do get their phones because I know what happens with social media. And there's so many great things that happen outside of your phone and with real connections and real conversations.
Welcome, Third Rock listeners, to the Branding Laboratory. I'm your host, Devo, Chief Experience Officer for the Brand Storyteller and the Fusion Creative Brands. And each week, I have the privilege of speaking with extraordinary leaders and entrepreneurs who are reshaping the way industries work. These conversations go way beyond the surface to explore the core philosophies, the lessons, and the challenges that define the brands that we admire today. And one of the greatest rewards of this podcast is the opportunity to share the insights of some of the brightest minds in business, people who are passionate about pushing boundaries and redefining what's possible. And as I always say, the stories we tell are the brands we build. And this show is a testament to the power of that concept. Let's dive in. Today's guest is Katie Brinkley. She is the founder of Next Step Social. It's a digital marketing expert. She's a podcast host, and she is a keynote speaker known for helping entrepreneurs grow without burnout. Let's not waste any time. Let's get to know who Katie is, what does she really believe in, and what actually matters in today's world, in today's business, and how she is showing up.
Yeah.
You have a lovely smile, by the way.
Thank you.
Who is Katie Brinkley?
I am a true Colorado gal. I love hiking. I love snowboarding and skiing and camping, playing sports with my daughters, like being outside, just loving the outdoor Colorado.
Curious about how you show up as an individual. So, everybody has sort of a perspective on, how they view the world and how they view themselves and all those different things. And, I'm a big believer in who you are as an individual is how you show up as your professional life. Like they leak into each other, right? So
Yeah.
if you're not pulling the bar over here personally, that's going to eventually show up on your professional side, right? So just sort of give me a little insights on what do you believe about people? Are people inherently good? Are people inherently bad? Or like, what's your perspective of just like the global world of humanity?
Well, I have two thoughts. I think that we all just need to be nicer to each other because we're trying to figure out this thing called life, and we're all just stumbling our way through it. And man, we're not the smartest bunch.
We do not learn
humanity.
from mistakes very well, do we?
Oh, no, we
And
don't.
you would think that we would catch on by now because shit just keeps repeating itself. You'd be
Right?
like, bro, did you not
Yeah.
realize that 50 years ago this same thing happened and you did the same thing and what was the result?
I know, and it's I think that that's one of the things where I'm like, man, I just want to be nicer to people. We're all trying to figure it out, but really? Really? That's what you decided to do. And it's a lot easier to figure it out when you just have someone be nice to you. Like, I do try and just be like, bah, you know what? You never know what else someone else is going through. Someone could have had a friend or a parent just pass away. You can't tell that by just seeing, them on the street or seeing them at the grocery store and them being frustrated with something. And like, this is just the tipping point. So sometimes it just takes a smile. Or just say, hey, how are you doing today? And honestly, like I've noticed, like just when I've had a bad day, sometimes I still talk about this. I went to star I love Starbucks, but I only get Starbucks when I'm traveling or like doing work things, like going to a work conference or a work event. And I had someone in I was really kind of annoyed that I was going to this event. I wanted to be at home with my kids, and I was like, but at least I get my Starbucks. Bah. And I was driving through, and I pull up to the window, and the barista said, like, oh, the person in front of you got your Starbucks for you. And I can't tell you how much like that turned my day around. I was like, thank you. This was just what I needed, So you never know. Like small things like that, I think just help all of us get through life.
Have you ever paid that forward?
Yes, I have
That's
actually.
really cool. The fact that you did that, recognize that.
It's interesting. I think that amidst all of the chaos and the subterfuge and the unkindness that we do see, there is still a lot of really cool shit that happens on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Did you have a kind and happy upbringing as a child?
I did have a good, I had a really great childhood. I was really active with sports. Still, start like we have two kids, and so like I've kind of done the same with them. They are very active in sports, and our lives are super crazy. But that's how I was brought up. Like that's all I know. Like is going, okay, you go to school and then you go to sports. And when this sport season ends, this sport season starts.
Yeah.
And okay, so like that's just kind of what I know.
Yeah.
So sports
Same.
were great. I love like I think that by playing sports, it allowed me to really learn how to work within a team, like within a team aspect. But also just it allowed me to be a business owner now because I'm not afraid to talk to people. When you're on a sports team, like when you're at school, you kind of have the comfort of your classroom, of meeting people within the classroom. When you're on a team, especially if you do multiple sports, you have to meet and get along with people on your team that you might not necessarily like. You have to talk to them and, and get to know them quickly and like ask the right questions. And I think that, for me, I never, like, I wasn't super popular in high school or anything, but I never felt like I didn't have friends. I had friends in all the groups. Like, I had friends that were in like the photography club and some that were super popular, and I had friends at other schools, and I loved that I was able to just, I never felt like I didn't belong anywhere. It was kind of nice just to know that I had people in my corner for different aspects and different things, and that's kind of life now too.
I love that you said sports. I'm a lifelong athlete as well. I still play soccer to this day and work out, of course.
Nice.
I didn't force my children into sports, but I highly encouraged it. I think it's a model for a variety of things. One of the things I love the whole relationship stuff that you just talked about in terms of being a peer to peer, being able to get along with different types of people and different levels. One of the things that I don't think I hear a lot of people talking about that I see from sports is that when you're an athlete, especially in a team sport, you're forced to sort of go through a d bunch of different variables that showcase who you are as an individual: resilience, your discipline, your accountability, how do you show up in relationships, all those different things. Especially when it comes down to, like, if you're playing at whether you're playing at a high level or a low level, in sort of like adversity type situations, you really see what people look like when adversity shows up. Like, I just, whether it's trauma or sports or whatever, sports always sort of shows. And I coach my daughter's lacrosse team right now. And
Oh,
one of the
nice.
things that's just really interesting to see is how different athletes show up, right, in different situations. And we got our ass kicked yesterday, by the way, in a crosstown rival. And it was sort of, I sort of took a step back from it just to watch how each of the girls showed up and responded to that situation, right? And so you can tell a lot about somebody. So I'm curious, how do you show up in situations that are of adversity? What's sort of like your reputation around that? How do you respond?
Going back to sports, you're not going to always get along with people.
Mm-hmm.
It's softball. I played softball through college, and there is people on the team that I was real good friends with, and there's some that I, like I don't remember their that they were on the team. Like that's like the but I mean, when you're on the field together, we're all working towards that same goal. And so sometimes, like that's what like my older daughter's kind of learning that right now. She's like, oh well, so and so doesn't really talk to me. I'm like, that's okay. You know what? When you guys both are working to try and win the game. You can just go out there and cheer her on and, be a big supporter for her, but you're not going to always get along with people. And so as I've gotten older, it's really kind of like, is this worth it? It to really like, I've really like had to ask myself, like, is this worth getting this upset over? And most of the time it's not. There's sometimes where it's very, yes, you, this is worth it to be this upset. But taking that step back and just kind of being like, okay, I'm in the moment right now. Is this really worth it? Is this as big of a deal as I think it is? And just by kind of taking a step, I think allows me to reevaluate a situation as to like, you don't really need, just let them.
So that's a cool, calm, and collected during adversity. perspective? Yeah.
I think
What
that,
really
you know,
ruffles your feathers? Was there something that really just sort of like, this is my line in the sand?
I think the biggest thing for me with like my line in the sand is not knowing your value. I do think that sometimes, like as the CEO, like I really get involved and care, maybe sometimes more than I should, because I really do care about our clients. And so like when things happen and they're like, bah, this isn't worth it, or this, you know, that's where it's kind of like, do you have any idea how hard we've been working? Like that's like the biggest thing for me. And I've had to remove myself from being quite so client facing, just because of that. Like I care a little bit too much and I have so many ideas. I want to do all the things and I can come in a little hot.
At the end of the day, it is pretty funny that you just say that, and I empathize with that because we do give, from our perspective, it's like we give a lot of fucks about specific things, especially as it pertains to how we serve our clients, right? But when they don't take on that same level of importance, it's sort of like it can be insulting, right? So it is pretty interesting to be able to step outside of yourself for a minute and look at it that most people only really care about what's in it for them in terms of like just as whether it's a consumer or as a client or whatever it is. And so you do often have to remind yourself that you have to look at other people's perspective on things, right? So that being said, you run a digital marketing agency, Next Step Social. What problem does Next Step Social solve? And at the end of the day, what is the end game problem solution that you provide to your clients?
We could take marketing completely off your plate. We make you everywhere doing all the things, and it looks like you're super active online, but really it's us. So brand awareness, you know, follow-up campaigns, building out the leads, building out the funnels, doing all the things. That's all us. And I think that, well, just when I was growing my company, I didn't realize how much certain tasks took me. Like something like, so I have a podcast, Rocky Mountain Marketing. And I had no idea how long that was actually taking me. I was only accounting for the hour of recording, but I was also editing it. And I was also doing the show notes. And then I was also creating the social assets. And then I was also doing the pre-calls. And then I mean, when I started tracking all that, I was like, holy cow, I'm spending like 10 hours a week on this podcast. What would happen if I didn't? And I'm not going to give up my show. Like, so we didn't talk about this, but I come from radio. So I used to be a sports reporter. My podcast is my favorite part of my job now. Like, I love my show. I love guesting on shows, obviously. And it's my favorite part of being a business owner. I'm not going to give that up. How can I delegate this? And so when I started tracking how long I was like and what tasks I was doing every day throughout the week, and I did this for about 2 weeks. It blew my mind, and that allowed me to be like, okay, this is where I need to start delegating. And that's how honestly, like the business grew. It was like we've taken all the things that I learned, like this is time that I should be focused on growing the business. I have a digital marketing agency, but I'm a business owner first. Should I actually be writing the social media posts? That's probably not the best use of my time. I need to be focusing on building client relationships and, you know, growing the business and doing all the other things. Writing a social media caption isn't the best use of my time. And so that's where we've now taken everything that I kind of learned the hard way and we do it for people.
Yeah. Why do you say podcasting is one of your favorite things? Why?
Well, I love to talk, but I think that there's no better way to get to know someone. Like everyone listening to the show right now, they might be in their car, they might be on a walk. This is a very intimate way of getting to know someone. You know, it's one-on-one time and you're spending a lot of time with someone right now. There's nothing that builds trust faster than podcasting. Like this, and because I mean, you think about it, you're sitting here. We've you know now that I've got kids, they you know like some of my core values, they know a little bit about my business. People feel like they know me. They know I played softball. Who knows? Maybe someone listening right now is like, oh, that's so cool. I played softball in college too. I wonder where Katie played. I should go to her Facebook page and learn more about Katie. And so I think that podcasting, it just is that next level of getting to know someone and build that trust. And man, it makes you very, very Googleable when you have a podcast and you optimize it the right way.
I want to go back to the problem that you solve because I love that you reverse engineered that and were self-aware enough to sort of see the problem in your own making and then be able to create something that was a solution for other people, right? Not a lot of people can do that, just to be honest with you. I mean, I coach a lot of people, and I will tell you that a lot of clients, when I first start interacting with them, are bitching about the same problem that they suffered from, but are not taking that problem and realizing that somebody else also might be suffering from that in their solution. So it's pretty self-aware. And I do want to say one thing. I show up on a lot of podcasts, maybe 100 or so a year. I do not find that all podcasts are created equal and that not all information makes you as relatable as you just described. It's the right podcast that make everything you just said.
And I think this is where I kind of doing due diligence makes sense. But it's like, especially with ChatGPT now, with AI, the if you show up and provide good content and you're on the show that knows what they're doing, you're going to show up as the answer in AI now. So for a while, so I was on another show and we talked all about some of my frameworks and strategies. And I was like, what is Katie Brinkley's four post strategy? And I put it into ChatGPT and it said everything about it, which was great. And then it gave two YouTube videos for reference. And
That's
one of them
amazing.
was that they're both me guesting on other people's shows. It wasn't even my podcast, which kind of sucks. But now I know I need to do some, episodes on that. But anyways, I digress. The stuff that you're putting out there, like it's being trained, it's being put out into the digital world. So it makes a lot of sense to find different ways of showing up, find different people to have conversations with, and podcasting is one of the best ways to do it.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people realize how much information is actually amalgamated across the interwebs on a regular basis if you are actually putting content out there, whether it's on social media, whether it's on YouTube, whether it's a podcast like this. And all that stuff is being amalgamated. And one of the things I find the most amazing about social media, even though I don't necessarily think I have social media influencer engagement status, if you will, people are always watching my content. I got a text message yesterday from a dude. Haven't seen this guy in like 3 years. He was in one of my masterminds. He sent me a text message, wanted to know the name of a book I had recommended to him like 3 years ago because he had forgotten about it and suddenly now he wants to read it. And then he sends me another note following. He's like, by the way, your social media is really on fire right now. And I was like, I had no idea you're even watching this stuff. It's just crazy to me. And people are always watching. They may not be responding, but people are always watching. And
Totally.
if you do what you just said, well, you're actually putting out productive content and not just like throwing spaghetti noodles at a
Yeah.
wall, it does catch on. It does become magnetic and on the right area. So, well said. We talked about the podcast, sort of like not every podcast is created equal, and it sort of, and not every podcast is for you, whether you show up as a guest or even the type of people we do. We're very, as you've seen through our process, we're very diligent about who we bring on the show, right? I
Yes.
want to make sure that we can have a real conversation. You can actually add some value to the conversation because most of my listeners are entrepreneurs and they want to know, like, how did Katie Brinkley build her business? Who is Katie Brinkley? So when you think about who you serve and how you show up as an individual, how did you sort of figure out who your ideal client was or the type of people that you really want to work with, the type of shows you want to show up? Like, why did you want to come on this show, for example? So if you could just sort of talk me through sort of that avatar identity process that you go through on all levels.
Well, I think that for me, the avatar is entrepreneurs that are doing all the things and they're tired of doing all the things because they became an entrepreneur so they could do something that they're passionate about, right? And not social media is typically not at the top of anyone's list, but it's really important, like you just said. If there's the silent observers, it's all the stuff is crawling on Google, and so that's where the four post strategy came into play and my framework came into play, is because I started looking at like, man, what do I have a social media agency, but I really don't have time to just be creating all these social media posts, but if I'm not on social media and I'm an agency owner, like what kind of business do I actually have? I have to be out there. What if I could go on there and be more strategic with my time? So then I found the framework. I figured this framework out and it works really well. And so I was like, well, what if I just shared this with the masses? And so that's where, for me, I want to be on shows where the listener are entrepreneurs that are tired of having to do all the things. They know they need to have a strong brand. They know they need to have a website. They know they need to post on social media. Goodness gracious. Now I just told them all that they need to have a podcast, you know, and maybe they're just like, all I wanted to do was build, you know, an insurance company. You know, I really like doing that. Or maybe I wanted to, you know, launch my own softball coaching program. And now I have to do all these things. Like, that's not what I signed up for. So that's where for me, like, finding the right shows and the right people to have conversations with, it's really important. And it's always, well, I don't know. Do you do a word of the year?
I used to. I've moved away from it. I do more values alignments now every year.
Okay.
I
All
check
right.
in with my values just to make sure I'm A in alignment or to see how they have shifted because they do shift quite regularly, I have seen. At least for
Well,
me in the last 5 years, my values have shifted from things that were more me-centered to more outward-centered. And I didn't realize that was going on until I really went through my own exercise.
so I've done a word of the year, and unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, maybe I need to do a values thing like you. But my word of the year for the past 3 years is intention. I keep on wanting to do a different word, but I've found that this has been such a good word for me to kind of live by that I never change it. And before I say yes to anything, I say, okay, well, what is my intention behind this? I'm an Enneagram 7. I don't know if you follow
I'm
Enneagrams.
an eight.
Okay. And so I get a FOMO real bad FOMO. If I don't go to this, if I don't say yes, if I don't do this, I'm going to be missing out on opportunities. And by slowing down and saying, okay, what's my intention? I really want to go to this conference, or I really want to speak at this event. What's my intention behind it? Is it to network? Is it to get new clients? Is it for, I mean, is it for the pictures just so I can share them on social media? So what is my intention? And if I can't come up with like, okay, this is a good reason for doing it, then I have to say no. And it's done so much for my business. It's done so much for my personal life. But I mean, at the same time, like that's where, again, before I say yes to anything, I go in and look at, like I do research on shows. I do research on people. Okay, who else is going to be in the room? Are these people that I need to know? What is my intention? And it's allowed me to really step back and say, like, okay, this is a good business decision, or no, I should, my time would be better spent with my family.
When you think of those intentions and you sort of look at the assessment that you did, that you just described, what are the things that make something a yes for you?
So for coming on this show, I was like, oh, well, audience probably would love to show up less on social media. Probably would get a lot out of me sharing that with them. I need to honestly, like, it's, I talk about it all the time, this framework, and my agency's trained on it. Like, everyone at my business is trained on implementing the framework. But I honestly, like, the biggest thing for me with this is like, I'm tired of all the junk on social media. I'm tired of people saying, like, oh, you need to post X amount of days on social media or times and all that. And it's like, we have lives to live. And you know, my kids are 7 and 10. They don't have phones yet. And I'm really sad for when they do get their phones because I know what happens with social media. And there's so many great things that happen outside of your phone and with real connections and real conversations. Social media is a great tool. How can you use it as that tool and then get off of social media to make more in-person connections? And so for me, like, that's my intention, is to get more people to build good connections online and then make them amazing in real life and just enjoy being together IRL. So that was a real long answer, but yeah.
I like what you said about social media. I feel the same way. Use it as a tool, as a construct to be, quote, social, and not as a crutch or as a vice, because I think that's the pernicious side of it is what it's turning into, is sort of like this constant vice of having to need to be on social media,
Yeah.
whether to get validation or to get your endorphins going or your fix or whatever it is, how many likes that I get. And as you know, I have two teenage daughters as well, and I did not allow my kids to have phones until they were over 14 and 15 respectively. And I see it every day in these teenagers that I coach. It's high school lacrosse that I coach, and there'll be a timeout at a game. And I literally had to put a whole new rule in place because during a timeout or a quarter change, instead of coming over to like get feedback from the coach or listen, they literally go to their bags and pick up their phone. And I was like, what? It's in the middle of a game. Like, what are you thinking? Is there something that important that can't wait for another 40 minutes? Like, from here on out, phones are not allowed on the pitch. Like, they stay in the locker room, they stay in your bag. I do not want to see a phone. And if I do see a phone, it's mine for the rest of the game. Like, that's all there is to it. So it's a little scary about that. I want to go back to you a little bit about and sort of like this idea of when everything shifts, because I've had a lot of these shifting moments in my own life. And when I work with entrepreneurs, one of the things that seems really readily apparent to all of us is that at some point we made a shift from something we were doing, something we believed in, something we thought was valuable. And in that moment, when that shift occurred, the entire trajectory of their next stage of their life altered. So when you look at your life, maybe you go back a few years before you started the agency. What were you doing before the agency? Where was there like this marquee moment where everything just completely shifted for you that and just changed the turning point?
Two turning points. I think that I'm fortunate enough that I've had my dream job like three times now. So, like I said, I was a sports reporter. And then the turning point came when SiriusXM came out and everyone in the radio industry panicked and I left, And so I was like, okay, I'm going to go into marketing because this is the end of radio. So that was a turning point. And then when after I was in marketing, I was the marketing manager for the Colorado Rockies TV station.
Oh, is that right?
And yes. And after a couple of acquisitions, my job got moved to Atlanta. I was like, how am I supposed to do like in-game like tweeting and live, parties for sponsors and stuff like that when I'm in Atlanta and our team is in Colorado? So that doesn't make sense. So that was a turning point and I took the severance package and I was like, well, I don't, now what am I going to do? And then I launched my agency and that's a big turning point. Love what I do now. And then the final turning point was kind of when I was with my older daughter. She's 10 now, but we were at the park and I remember seeing that there was like a group of teenagers all sit, we were all at the park, beautiful day, and they were all sitting in a circle and they all had their heads down on their phone like this. None of them were even talking to each other. And I was like, is this what my daughter has to look forward to? Like, we're gonna go hang out and then just all be on our phones. Like, that's a really sad life to me. What if I could change that? Social media is not going anywhere, but what if we were just smarter on how we showed up with it? So.
And if you do understand that construct and how you can effectively use social media, it is a massive brand building, personality building tool. I mean, I have connections all over the world with people that I frequently speak to, conversations that I regularly have, mastermind groups, get together. I travel a lot and I've gotten together with people that I've met through podcasts in different parts of the world. So it's been a really cool connection tool. And so if you can use it purposefully and consciously, it can be a fantastic asset for you.
Totally.
In terms of your personal development, I love, for me again, this is one of the things I coach my clients on, is that how you show up as an individual personally is how you show up as a professional in your business, right? So if you suck at relationships, at some way, shape, or form, that's going to show up and manifest in your professional life, right? Whether it's through collaborations, whether it's through clients, whether it's through partners, whatever it is. So when you think about Katie as an individual, can you just be vulnerable and transparent with me for a minute? What are some of the things that you have noticed in your life up until now that you've had to sort of work on personally because you saw them sort of creating something that wasn't optimal for you in your business, your professional, whether it's disorganization or how you handle relationships? Just like, what are some personal things that you've had to work on and overcome to become a better individual, better business owner, better?
Yeah, it's that definitely that word intention. Like, and I think because I was on the cusp of complete burnout, maybe even a mental breakdown, because I was saying yes and doing all the things. When I first started my business, I had two little kids at home. And so I was working between nap times and on weekends and after they went to bed. So when I would went to work, I worked really, really hard. When my kids got older and started going to school, I would show up to work and I would work really, really hard. And I was getting all these things done. And people would say to me, like, man, Katie, how are you? How do you find the time to do all this? And I would wear it as a badge of honor, like, oh, well, I'm just a hard worker, and it caused me almost to burn out. And so if it wasn't for me, again, applying that word, which maybe some listeners are like, that sounds so dumb, but it really was important for me to take a step back. Okay, I want to write a book. What's my intention behind it? Does it need to be done by X date? No, yeah, like, and then like just kind of slowing down the process. So, I'm very, reactive. Like, oh, okay, well, this happened. Let's go do this. And so just slowing down the process of life really helped me grow my business, grow my relationship with my family and grow, my friends. I think that that was one of the most important things was just slowing down and asking myself why.
So this intention, this word that you just described, and this change that you made personally, all of this came from the one word exercise.
Yeah.
Who turned you on to this book or this concept?
So I don't know if you remember this, but there's an app called Clubhouse during COVID, and
I
people,
never got into it. I was invited to a
oh,
couple, but I just never
ruin
really
it.
got into it.
Yeah, I couldn't get off the conference call. So there's a lot of people talking about their word for the upcoming year, and I was like, what is this word thing? And so I just was like, oh, okay. So you take a word and you implement it, and I just really kind of dove into that thought, but I heard about it on Clubhouse.
And this is something you still do today? I have a really cool values alignment exercise I could take you through.
Yeah, sure.
I'll send it to you after the podcast. It's really cool. It's actually really powerful to sort of see it materialize on paper. Why do you want to write a book?
I already
What's
did.
your intention about? Oh, you did? I didn't even know this. Sorry.
Yeah,
Nobody put this on my notes.
it's all good.
What's your book about?
So it's about showing up less on social media and building your community.
Love that. And what's it called?
It's called The Social Shift.
Okay, this is not anywhere in my onboarding that I have from you.
Oh, here it is.
Brilliant.
It's The Social Shift. It's like 200 pages ish. Talks all about how you can, like, we've always been craving for community online, like before there even was an online, and how you can build that community on each social media platform by showing up less and more intentionally. So.
I love the idea. And you and I are very similar in this regard. Community for me is everything. And I've spent the last, I'm going to say, really arguably 5 years really trying to cultivate a better community, a better network. I guess that would be I'm being more intentional about it and really realizing that, you become a byproduct of the people you surround yourself with, which is sort of where my journey began. I started realizing that the people I was engaging with, and not that they were bad people, they weren't inspiring me to become a better version of myself. And so I really started to set out, which is why I launched the podcast, to start trying to find people who were on a journey themselves that I could align with, whether it was personally, professionally, and really start doing some of the things that that just fill me up. So I love that you said that. When you think about social media, and we've talked about that a bit, your social media philosophy, less is more. It's really powerful. Why do you think that's needed right now so importantly? Because it's from my purview, our social constructs in the physical world are getting smaller and smaller. Whether that's intentional or not, it is happening. So more and more people are jumping into this space where they're in silos and locked into this, Meta is now creating these virtual worlds everywhere. It's like, so in your purview and this less is more, why is that so critical right now?
Well, if you pay attention to what all the billionaires are doing online, it's not going to be that far away before we are all living in a digital world. Like that, I don't know if you saw that movie, Ready Player One.
I don't watch a lot of TV.
I don't either, but this one is a good one to check out because
Ready Player One.
I do think that that's where we're going with a lot of our technology. I think, like, you think about Minority Report. Did you see that
Oh,
movie with
yeah,
Tom
old school
Cruise?
Tom Cruise.
Yeah. And how when he was just walking through the, like, he was getting personalized ads thrown at him throughout the subway, and you were able to, I do think that technology is going to be going that way in the not so distant future. I mean, if you pay attention to what all the billionaires are doing, they're investing in the metaverse, they're investing in AI, and they're investing in like this cryptocurrency. I do think that, Elon has a big say, and well, even more so with the past election and everything, but I mean, he has a big say in what we're going to be doing as a society as far as how we connect with people, how we buy things, how we do life. And those Meta Ray-Ban glasses where you can snap pictures and take pictures of your friends and like share it directly to social media. Yes, you're doing the thumbs down. And I don't think it's going to be long, too far off for us just to be like, I'm just going to tap my thing here and now I can see it. Okay. Now, I think that I have the Meta Oculus like gaming system. So much fun. I love doing it. But the whole virtual reality thing, I think that that's going to be like within just sunglasses here soon. They've already made AI glasses to help blind people. And I think that that's all going to be happening sooner than later, like maybe sooner than we all think, because the billionaires are investing in it. And if they're investing in it and they're paying attention to it, I think that as someone that works using their tool, Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn, I need to pay attention to it because with all of this, we're going to be in a digital world sooner than we realize. I think that we're going to maybe next, in 2 years, I would do this podcast by just clicking my glasses. I don't actually have to log into the computer. I can just go directly with my glasses, and it looks like we're sitting in a little podcast studio together in real life.
Yeah.
Who knows? But I think that they have the money,
Somebody
they're
knows.
investing in it, and it's something to think about. How are we going to take these connections that we find on social media? Because sooner than later, that's going to be even more of our world.
I personally, and I don't know where you sit on the philosophy bubble, but I think there's a more pernicious aspect to that than just a singular line of creating a space where people can recreate and be social.
Oh, yeah.
If I may, for a minute. Go down a rabbit hole.
Cool.
The more
Let's.
people that go into that space, the less people are, shall we say, rebelling against a narrative. So the more people you have in a space where you are controlling the content, you're controlling the consumption, you're controlling their thought process, you're reducing critical thought, and you're putting people in an isolated bubble that can be easily controlled as opposed to people who are dispersed. Doing their own ancillary things, right? So,
Totally.
yeah,
I
so
it,
I,
I do think though too, sorry to interrupt, but like
no.
with Web3, we're going down the rabbit hole together now.
It's what we
But
do, girl. It's what we do.
Web3, it's all decentralized. So we get to choose our circles. This is where again, like those Discord channels, those groups that are in that you have to sign into that's off of Facebook. It's not a Facebook group or anything. If you're logging into a Discord, you're choosing that community. So now's a really good time to start finding these communities that you're going to have access to when things become that next level of decentralization and digital world. I hope that this doesn't happen in my lifetime or maybe even my daughter's, but I do think it's closer than we all
I
realize.
agree. I'm building an offline world. I have launched my
Nice.
first retreat. I don't know if you're aware of that. I have my first physical retreat coming up. This is not a shameless plug. This is really, I'm going somewhere with this. I do believe in the value of community. I podcast for a reason. It's a vehicle for me to connect with people. And then in the process of that, create other ancillary activities that can involve physical get up. So we have regular meetups in the city of Charlotte with people that I didn't connect with. I have this retreat coming up in November. I don't want to be part of that world. I want nothing to do with it. And it's ironic because I use social media for a large part of what I do in my business, but I use my platform to just share insights and wisdom and talk about things that are meaningful to me. Some people like it, some people don't, but I don't want to operate in a world where I'm sitting in that silo and that's the only vehicle that I have to connect with people. So
Yeah.
I want nothing to do with it. Is your model still evolving in how you view the world and how you run your business and whatnot? And if so, what's next?
What do you mean?
Well, we've talked about iterations and sort of like how for me the last 5 years my values have adjusted on a regular basis. I've no, and again I have some core principles that never change: honesty, integrity, community, that whatnot. But I've also noticed that some of the other things that are more meaningful to me now are not the same things that were meaningful to me even 5 years ago. So my model is constantly evolving and sort of how I show up in the world. Even my business has changed over the last 18 months. What I thought I was doing is not what I want to do now, and what I'm really doing now is like I'm really stepping into my power. So social media, digital marketing, CEO, writing a book, raising two children. you sort of have a pretty vibrant, dynamic life. I'm
Yeah.
wondering, in the midst of all these things that you're doing, is your model changing, evolving, how you want to show up in the world, what your business does today? Do you see it still doing the same thing tomorrow? Is there an iteration that you're trying to
Well, there's
work
no
on right
way I
now?
can act do this the same business
Yeah.
tomorrow.
What do
AI
you,
is changing everything.
so how are you adapting to that? How is that model of
So we're
yours
building out
changing?
AI agents. We're building out different workflows and really trying to, like, everyone on the team is learning how to master AI. And okay, so if we have this AI tool, how are we going to set up a workflow for it? And I think that if I sit here and say, oh yeah, we're all gonna, I'm like, my copywriter, she's amazing. I love Nikki. She's former, Starz Network writer. And if I were to sit here and say, like, yeah, Nikki's still going to be writing for all of our clients in the next year, even, I'd be doing my company a disservice. So, I mean, I'm training Nikki to how do you write better using AI and then use, with your brilliance of copywriting, how are you going to tweak it? So, I mean, I think that we have to learn these tools. Like, it's a that's kind of the shift we're making, is I'm telling my team, like, what other AI tools are out there? What tools can we create, for our clients? What can we do to stay relevant? Because it's if I just sit here and say, like, we're going to keep doing things, I'm still going to keep editing my podcast in GarageBand. That's a waste of my time, and it's a waste of the software and capabilities that are out there. So, I mean, it's learning, learning, always learning. I have to keep learning. I have to keep evolving.
This whole AI model, you said to stay relevant. I would like to add to that to also stay self-aware, because I think that there is a lot of dangers, and I'm curious what your opinion on this is. There are a lot of dangers on an over-reliance of something that is amalgamating information and is taking something from our brains, 7.5 billion people that are using it now, putting it into a system, and God knows where that may go. And I'm not, could be a conspiracy theorist. I have no idea where it's going to be. I don't know that this is going to lead to the next Terminator revolution. I don't know that. But I certainly know that an amalgamation of this much information certainly could have some negative outcomes. What's
1,000,000%.
yeah,
No, I agree.
so just curious what your take on that is. What is the future of AI if we're not careful and become self-aware and learn what these systems can be capable of?
How
What's the
can it
stuff?
assist you?
How can it assist
That's
you?
what you always need to ask. How can AI assist me? Not re replace me. It's assisting me. I'm not gonna have, like, can I clone my voice and myself, like, with AI now? Absolutely. But that's not going to be a better podcast than me showing up and recording a podcast. How can I use AI to assist me, though? Well, let's see what people are talking about online. Let's go ahead and crawl these web pages. Let's do some Google searches. Have AI help me that way. And then I know what's up here in my brain that I have an opinion on. AI isn't going to be able to form opinions for us. So,
Not
how
yet.
can you? Well, there's not going to be your opinion.
I mean, I don't know.
It knows a
No.
lot about us, but it doesn't know truly what your opinion is, what your next question.
Think there's a different conversation. I don't want to go into a debate here because I don't have the answers, but they are tapping into neuroreceptors, neurotransmitters, using artificial intelligence now to actually predict the next step, the next idea, the next thought, and they are making progress in it. So we don't know if that's actually true.
Okay, and I know that
And
we're,
I'm terrified. I know we have an hour on this call, and I want to get to a few more questions, but
Okay. I won't bring up any other, maybe I come back and we talk more about AI. But I think that it's super scary. It's not going anywhere. How can you learn to leverage it and work alongside of it? And I think that that's where we have to be now, is how can I work alongside this thing? Because it's not going anywhere. How can I use it to be the best assistant in the world?
I love your take on that. It should be used as a tool to support and help and assist, but it certainly should never be used as a tool to replace critical thinking and just
No.
your version of you. When it's all said and done, what do you want to be remembered for?
Yeah, she was fun to be around.
So when people interact with you, whether it's on a podcast or in person or on the softball field or whatever it is you're doing, I was curious because we have a perception of ourselves and who we are. What do other people think about us when we're not in the room? What do people think about you when you're not in the room with them?
I would like to think that they know that I'm, there for them, that I'll listen, that there no judgment being passed, and we can talk about it if you want. We don't have to. And if you want to just show up and be in the moment, I'm your gal.
I mentioned at the outset that most of the listeners on this podcast are entrepreneurs in all stages of their evolution of their entrepreneurial journey. Is there any one shift you hope this episode will create for our listeners?
Slow down and see where you can delegate. You don't need to do it all your own on your own. Hiring was the thing that took too long to do, and it was the best decision for my business and for my family was hiring. And I think that when you have
And
a
you.
team, it's yeah,
And
you
you.
need for sure. And then find your support group. Like being an entrepreneur can be a very frustrating and lonely journey sometimes. But if you find the right people to have in your support system, whether it's not like some of my best friends, I never met on in real life. Like we've just hung out online and on Zoom calls. And find your tribe however you can, because this whole thing called life is way better when you have people in your corner.
You are a byproduct of the people you surround yourself with, and especially if they're good people. I need to get you an invitation to my Impact Series, the third Wednesday of every month. It's free. Just join. We had 32 people on yesterday's call. It is an hour and a half of collaborations and conversations. We have a guest speaker that comes on every single month, talks about something important to you and your business, your life. But you talked about online conversations. This is where you actually get to go into breakout rooms with new individuals you've never met and get to know them
Sign
and
me up.
work through a problem. It's really cool. I'm really excited about it. Where can people find you, Katie Brinkley? What's the best connection space?
KatieBrinkley.com. Just go there and you can find whichever social platform you like. I'm mostly active on LinkedIn, but KatieBrinkley.com is the place to go. You can get the book, listen to the podcast, do all the things.
I'm surprised we didn't get a copy of your book before the show. I could be
I
marketing for you
know.
right now.
I know.
Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, X, whatever.
Yeah, I'm not super active on Twitter, but yeah.
If you had to pick one to sort of share
LinkedIn.
your brand message, where are you? LinkedIn. That's right. I'm Instagram. I'm getting better on LinkedIn, but I've really feel like I've mastered the Instagram game. I love
Yep.
Instagram because I'm a visual guy. I'm very creative, so I have
Okay.
to sort of see that
See, I'm
space.
more Britain. I like reading, so that's why LinkedIn's better for me. So yeah.
LinkedIn is changing.
Yeah.
LinkedIn is taking on.
They got the video. I did my first LinkedIn video thing, vertical feed yesterday. So, yeah.
LinkedIn is becoming less boring. And
Right.
I've always found it so boring because people just post nonsensical things, but I do not. So please make sure we're connected. Katie, it's really been a good conversation. I appreciate you taking the time to come on the Branding Laboratory.
Thanks for having me.
If today's episode challenged you, or provoked you, or made you think about how you show up as an individual or CEO or leadership, reach out. I want to hear what really hit home. What was that sticky noodle that stuck on your wall? And if you are a founder or a creator or a leader and you're building something bold and true, this show is for you. And I want to hear from you, and you might be able to be my next guest. Until next time, stay curious, stay courageous, and keep becoming the brand you were born to tell. Sayonara. Thanks for tuning in to the Branding Laboratory. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to subscribe and leave a review. Connect with us on social media for more branding tips and insights. And remember, your story matters. Until next time, keep building and sharing your unique brand story. I'll see you soon. Thanks for tuning in to the Branding Laboratory. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to subscribe and leave a review. Connect with us on social media for more branding tips and insights. And remember, your story matters. Until next time, keep building and sharing your unique brand story. I'll see you soon.